This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
From NBC LA, Michael Duarte, who is there in the room, and we'll get the scene set. But you tell me his new translator's name is Will.
Yes, I want to give him a shout out and credit. He's been with the organization 9 years in different roles and capacities. He originally started as the translator for Kenta Maeda back when Kenta Maeda came over from Japan and pitched for the Dodgers. Will Ireton is his name. He actually was in the World Baseball Classic with Team Philippines as like a equipment manager. So he's been with the Yankees and Rangers, but last 9 years with the Dodgers, up and through the ropes. When Kenta left, they kind of put him in other places of the organization for him to learn and work his way up. And I believe he's like head of performance now with them. So he was going to be in the dugout anyways. It just so happens he's now thrown into this role as a player in the scandal, now the new interpreter for Shohei Ohtani. So, yeah, I just wanted to, you know, let everyone know his name as well as you keep playing the clips.
I wonder if he was nervous, a little anxious, getting put into this position. Not that they didn't have a couple of days to get ready, because clearly that's what they were doing the last couple of days. But, man, there's a lot of attention and pressure on him all of a sudden.
I love, Amy, how he was, like, writing down as Shohei was talking, as if he was taking notes, like he didn't have the statement probably in English right there in front of him to reference as well. But Will's a great guy. He's a team favorite. He's a media favorite, fan favorite over the years. If you just Googled him and looked him up on clips, there's clips of, you know, him in crazy outfits doing speeches during spring training. You know, he's squatting and doing deadlifts in spring training to impress the players. During celebrations, when they've clinched playoff games and series, he'd be pushed in a laundry cart as they pour beer and champagne on him. So he is thrown into this. He did look very nervous. Obviously, he hasn't been full-time translating for quite some time, for many years now. So, yeah, I'm sure to be thrown into the middle of this scandal that has more twists and turns in it and more drama than an episode of Succession is definitely new to him.
Any idea if he will be Ohtani's translator moving forward?
I think for the immediate future, yes, I believe so. Like I said, he's done that role before. I don't know if that's going to be the long-term solution. Obviously, Ohtani's here for 10 years, so I doubt it's going to be Will Ireton for the next 10 years. But in the immediate future, I believe, yeah, that's the plan.
So, Mike, what was it like inside that room?
Well, first of all, it was at capacity. I arrived 2 minutes before it started, so I was in the very back. It was standing room only. There was not a whole lot of room to see or maneuver, and there was no cameras allowed in the room. There was just one camera there by Spectrum Sports in LA here, and everybody else like NBC and our other affiliates out there all had to pick it up from that Sportsnet LA live feed camera that was the only one in the room. So the no cameras actually made more space for people, but that was a absolute packed house with everybody kind of waiting and standing on bated breath to, as you mentioned earlier in the show, to see what Shohei Ohtani's physical reaction would be. Would he be nervous? Was he calm and collected? Would he be angry? Would he be sad? You know, it was a lot of trying to read between the lines, because obviously he was reading a prepared, pre-written statement and doing it in Japanese, and then we're having to hear the translation of it. But to that point, you know, I'll tell you what I noticed when he walked in. He didn't make eye contact with any of the reporters that were in the room, no media people. He walked in with the owner of the Dodgers, Andrew Friedman, president of baseball operations, and he was followed by Dave Roberts, Joe Kelly, and Kike Hernandez, so teammates that were there to also listen but also show that they have his back and they support him. It seemed like when he did sit down and started to read, and then when Will would translate for him, he was kind of staring blankly at the room a little bit. Like I said, not really making eye contact with anybody. When he wanted to make it clear he did not bet on baseball and he was not betting with a bookie here, with a bookmaker, he really was emphatic, I thought, as far as his reaction. And as you mentioned, there were times where he did seem to be a little emotional at the betrayal or the loss of his longtime best friend and translator, Ipe Mizuhara.
How believable did he seem to you, Michael?
It's hard to tell because I don't speak Japanese, so I don't, you know, I'm sure there's a language barrier of some sorts with particular words and what they might mean in different cultures, and not hearing it in English, it was difficult for me to say. I can tell you, Amy, that this is exactly what I expected him to say. I believe that his team and his lawyers, this is now the story we're sticking to. This is the story we're going with. So in making him available to the media, I expected nothing less than him kind of continuing with what we had already seen and read from the statement by his team, his agent, Nez Bilello, the legal team they hired. They also hired a crisis communication spokesperson, which to me probably bungled this entire thing from the beginning. But there was a level of believability to it for sure. I'm trying to kind of go through it. I think that his version of events is certainly plausible. Is it the most likely? I don't personally think it's the most likely scenario, but it's not really what's true and what's likely and what we think and believe, Amy. It's what you can prove. And I don't think there's any way that people can necessarily prove otherwise as of right now. We'll see what happens with both the MLB investigation and the federal investigation into this bookmaker, Matthew Boyer, I believe is his name.
Right.
We'll see what happens with those investigations. Maybe some more information will come out, but I don't think they're going to be able to prove either way, whether it was Shohei who did loan the money and is not telling the truth now at this point, whether it was Shohei who is just a victim in this entire thing from a con man that is his interpreter, or if it was him the whole time placing the bets and he was the front man doing all this. I don't think there's going to be any way to prove any of that.
Michael Duarte of NBC LA was there in the room as Shohei Ohtani delivered his remarks on Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It is a little bit infuriating, but beyond that, also just blows my mind that we may never know. We actually may never get the information to fill in the gaps until maybe, I don't know, 25 years down the road if somebody writes a tell-all book.
Yeah, I don't think we are ever going to know. I think once whatever legal circumstances come for Ipe Mizuhara, the interpreter in this case, I'm not sure at this point. Obviously, he's being investigated, but what crimes he may have committed, is he going to be arrested for these crimes? We don't know. But I'm sure once kind of the dust settles there, he will vanish. Whether he stays in Southern California, where he's been living since he was 7 years old, or goes back to Japan, where he actually lives in the off season, where he met his wife, and where he was living and working for the Nippon Ham Fighters when he met Shohei Ohtani in 2012 and 13. So I don't think we're ever going to know the full story or the truth here, Amy, unfortunately. And that's sad, because at the end of the day, you know, sports gambling in this country is big business. It's become extremely popular. It's legal in 38 of 50 states, including, you know, Washington, D.C. and other territories. I don't know. It's something that we talk about. We have entire television networks, radio nations,
right,
websites, all dedicated to sports gambling. So at the end of the day, what are we talking about? Somebody who was betting on sports and just really, really bad at it. And it's kind of unfortunately put a large dark shadow and cloud over the Dodgers home opener, the start of the MLB season, and Shohei Ohtani's you know, debut with the Dodgers and first season with them as well. It's just kind of put a cloud over all of it.
We hadn't yet played for our audience Dave Roberts' reaction to Ohtani's comments. So, Mike, here's what he had to say earlier on Monday evening.
Shohei was very honest in his take of kind of what happened. And so I know that for me, the organization, we support him. And I hope that, you know, I got a lot of questions answered as far as, you know, what he knew, what he didn't know. And I'm looking forward to kind of just moving forward and obviously, you know, letting the authorities take care of it and just, you know, focus on baseball. But, yeah, I was proud of him to, you know, sit up here and kind of give his take on things.
Here's the thing, Michael. I appreciate that the organization is supporting him. But when he says he got a lot of questions answered, that part made me laugh out loud more than once now. I've heard it like three times, and every time I laugh out loud.
No, I did. I did, too. And I want to bring up the point there, too, Amy, because the questions that he did not answer, I don't think there was a whole lot of questions answered between you and I. And the questions he didn't answer were the questions that ESPN had from the very beginning the whole time,
right,
which was, why is your name on two wire transfers that we have seen that totaled $1 million sent to a bookmaker in Southern California? And if you're going to say, I don't know, it wasn't me, it was Ipe, then why does he have access to your account? How did he gain that access? Why does he have that access? Who else has that access? And how was he able to get away with this? We're not just talking like this happened recently. 6 months ago is what the wire statements ESPN has.
Right.
This could have been going back. We were told potentially nine $500,000 payments. And as I heard you say on the show, and I can attest to this as well, like a $100 charge goes on my card that the bank doesn't recognize, and I get a text, was this you? I've sent large wires in my life, and there is two-factor authentication. I get a text. I have to put in the code.
Right.
I then get an email confirmation. Other people who are tied to the account gets emailed. Sometimes the bank even calls to check in. There's a lot of checks and balances throughout this whole thing. And as I think Marco on your show mentioned, like, how is there just one person, an interpreter, handling all of this so that you don't get wind of all of it? I don't really buy that part either. There's not a financial advisor. There's not someone getting bank statements. There's not an accountant. I mean, Nesbolelo's your agent. He must know and have access to certain things. I can believe that Ipe would have access to these accounts, as your caller mentioned. It's not uncommon. Okay. He might even have his own card that's like, you know, he can spend
for expenses,
as a business account or something for expenses. Exactly. That might be tied to that account. But to be able to log into a computer, make multiple $500,000 wires transfers, and write the word loan specifically in the description in the memo, a lot of things aren't adding up. We are not getting a lot of question answers. In fact, there's even more questions I have now after hearing Ohtani's statement than I had before. And I think there's just going to be questions that we do not get the answers to, unfortunately.
And as I mentioned last hour, the part of the timeline that doesn't make sense. And he says he was completely in the dark until he heard Ipe addressing the Dodgers in Korea last week. And yet ESPN made Ipe available to ESPN the day before that. And so how is it, whether he knows or not? So that's one thing. He may not know exactly what Ipe was doing. Ipe could have lied to him. But how do his advisors not immediately contact him and say, dude, why is your name on a bunch of wire transfers to a bookie? Here's what Ipe is telling us. What are you saying? And why is your name associated with gambling at all? I mean, for his advisors to continually, according to him, go through Ipe and not go directly to Shohei Ohtani, that's concerning as well. I think they all need to be fired if that's the case.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Tisha Thompson, who I believe is the ESPN investigative reporter who kind of broke this all open, I've listened to several of her interviews over the last few days, including going on the Stephen A. Smith show. She reached out. She was the first person who reached out Sunday here on the West Coast, in the United States at least, Monday morning in Seoul, and she reached out to Nesbolelo, Shohei Ohtani's agent, didn't get him on the phone, was waiting for a response saying, we have these wire transfers. I've seen them. You know, why is Shohei's name on them? Why does it say loan? Can you explain this? It wasn't until hours later that Nez hires a crisis communications spokesperson to handle this. They then also hire a legal team to handle this. Why are they doing that? That's multiple red flags right there. And it is the crisis communications spokesperson who calls Ms. Thompson back and then says, I've just been hired. I'm getting up to speed. And then, like you mentioned, they had almost 36 hours before that phone call over 90 minutes that Ipe did with Ms. Thompson over the phone to create or craft what the story was going to be to explain this. Like I said, over 36 hours to explain it. And the spokesperson even gives a quote from Ohtani, which was, yes, I sent several large payments. It's the maximum amount I was able to send, and I did it on his behalf. It boggles my mind if none of that was true.
And it never got to Ohtani.
Quote Ohtani, you say yes. And yeah. Nez isn't speaking to him directly. Look, you travel a lot, Amy. I know you've been to Cuba and other places. I travel a lot. It doesn't take me too long to pick up the language to at least be able to have a conversation, understand certain things. Like you said, there's Google Translate. There's plenty of ways. Ohtani has now been here for 7 years. I've seen him have conversations with teammates in English. He's not fluent 100% yet, but he definitely knows and understands it. And if Nez was going to call him and try to understand what might have happened here, I don't think the whole thing can be lost in translation. He's only speaking with Ipe the whole time, and Ipe's crafting this story. And there's another layer to it that is important here, which is if Ipe was the one doing all of this the entire time, and again, it's just speculation that, you know, he wasn't. But if he was, why, if we're to believe Shohei's version of events, why is his decision, if he's caught in the lie, if he's going to admit to the gambling, if he's going to admit to the addiction, if he's going to admit to the debt, why would the story that he loaned him the money be the story he comes up with and decides to tell? You could argue if he really was embezzling the funds and stealing them, then it's a larger crime and maybe he didn't want to admit to it, but he's going to tell ESPN that, so he knows if that's not the truth, Shohei and everyone will find out immediately.
Right.
So that doesn't really make sense to me why you would come up with that, because it's just going to be a lie that's told for a few hours until everyone knows it's a lie if Shohei knows it's not true. And the other thing is, why would you wire it directly to the bookie? You could wire it to yourself and call it a loan if you're the one doing the account and then send it so there's no record of it. And if you were trying to take all culpability away from Shohei and just said, I'm the one who did this, then from the get-go, you would have said, I did it all. I snuck into the account and did all that. So it even makes more sense that for 90 minutes and an entire day after having a whole team hired to handle this, that's the one story they come up with, and then it changes 24 hours later. And the ironic part here and why the story changes 24 hours is suddenly they may have not been aware that it was breaking a baseball rule. And there's precedent to this, Amy. Jared Cozart of the Marlins in 2015, he was investigated by Major League Baseball. He admitted to sports gambling. They were able to investigate and find out he did not bet on baseball. He received a $450,000 fine, and it was all put to bed. But in the CBA agreement, even by saying it was Ohtani loaning money to his friend and sending it on his behalf, it breaks that rule of the CBA,
right.
And Ohtani could have faced discipline by Major League Baseball via a fine or a suspension. But moreover, it tarnishes the billion-dollar brand that is Shohei Ohtani, that goes beyond the baseball field, that is with New Balance and sponsors and endorsements and everybody. It could potentially tarnish that brand. And I think protecting that brand is the more important thing in this entire story.
To everyone involved, actually, not
Correct.
Just to Shohei Ohtani, but to the Dodgers and to baseball, to the TV properties and partners, to corporate partners. You're right. Protecting Shohei Ohtani at all costs and trying to figure out the best way to insulate him. But the whole, I don't know, just deny doesn't seem that plausible. It might if we hadn't heard the earlier version of the story. But since we heard the earlier version, now it's just so confusing. Michael Duarte with us from LA. So before I let you go, because I know it's been a long day for you, from what you know of the Dodgers, how do they handle it moving forward?
Well, for the Dodgers, they kind of have this, all right, he said his statement, this is what happened, let's move on now. That is exactly what they've been trying to do. It's the narrative they've been trying to push. The Dodgers send out media clips every single day, and since this story broke, they have not sent a single one about Shohei Ohtani or this scandal. they are avoiding it, and now they feel like he's made his statement. We can all put this to rest. And I don't really know. You know, we were asking Nez Bilelo during the introductory press conference for Shohei Ohtani. You know, he was pitching with the Angels when he was a pitcher as a pitcher for the Angels every 5 days on his starts. Well, knowing he wasn't going to start this year, are you going to still only make him available to the media every 5 days? Now there's this scandal. He's not going to want to talk. We want to know, as the media who covers this team, when are we going to be able to speak to Shohei Ohtani and ask him questions ourselves that might just be on baseball? And I'm sure they were protecting him at his locker in Korea. They were protecting him at his locker yesterday. And again today, when the locker room was open, we were able to find out where his new locker is yesterday. I might add, ironically, he took over Julio Urias' old locker in the Dodgers clubhouse, and he's next to his countryman, Yamamoto. So what we want to know from that perspective is when we're going to be able to speak to him and ask him questions ourselves, and when he becomes available again next. And the last thing I'll say, because I know you got to go, is, and we've talked about this, you and I, in conversation off air, if you know the bookmaking world, the line of credit you get is similar to what a credit card company might give you as far as a line of credit. So how an interpreter would have a minimum $4.5 million line of credit
minimum
is another head-scratching part of this story that doesn't seem to make sense or add up, because that would make Matthew Boyer the worst bookie in the history of all sports bookies. So,
well, he obviously wasn't that smart, since he got caught up in a federal investigation and has now had his place seized. And to my understanding, is behind bars, correct, or is in custody?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
No charges
yet.
No arrests or anything yet. But he has, you know, lawyered up, and his lawyers have come out and said, like, he didn't know Shohei Ohtani. He never met him. He never got bets directly from him. But they also admitted he did go around telling other people and his clients that Shohei was his client. So that's another part of the story.
I'm thinking, if I'm Ipe Mitsuhara and I have the resources, I get the heck back to Japan. Or somewhere else. I go somewhere else before I do get charged. And I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of disappears off the radar for a while.
Yeah, I think once the dust settles, he will probably head back to Japan, where his wife is from, where, you know, originally started his career with the Nippon Ham Fighters, and probably with, I don't know, something that will take care of him for the rest of his life. But I don't want to speculate on that, of course, Amy. But another thing I want to say, last thing I'll say, you and I are in the sports business. We talk sports with everybody. And honestly, this is the first time you, me, and James have spoken since we met at the Super Bowl, which was amazing. And this is the first time I've come on the show since then. So,
right,
you know, we're in these circles all the time. I don't know about you, but everyone talks about the bets they've made, and I got something on this game, and I took this team with these points, or it's just kind of a part of the industry now, talking about the spreads and the lines. Even Scott Van Pelt has his worst beats, you know, part of his show. So all of this just is one of those things where, if Ipe truly, I don't know, I guess if Shohei truly didn't know that he was his best friend who he was spending all his time with wasn't gambling, when it's something that everybody talks about and it's kind of normal, it just seems very strange to me, because they know and talk about everything else. And Ipe also admitted, you know, at the end of the 2022 year during the World Cup in Qatar, that him and Shohei were watching all the games. They were rooting for Team Japan. Team Japan upset Spain. They upset Germany. They won their group. They lost to Croatia in penalty kicks. Shohei texted him saying, "How can a game of this magnitude be decided by penalty kicks? That's like deciding the World Series with a home run derby." So there was a lot of, you know, we know things they did and talked about. They shared interests in other sports, especially international soccer. It just seems really strange that Shohei had no clue his best friend and who he did everything with was betting on sports.
It's wacky. It's strange. It's odd. And at this point, it's implausible, the story we've been told. But I guess, as you point out, we may never know, and so we're going to have to be okay with that, at least for now. But I'm counting on a tell-all book 20, 25 years down the road. Someone is going to write a book, and then we'll have at least a single account. Kind of like the Phil Mickelson books about his gambling that have now come out years later, right?
Exactly, yeah.
It's too hot, and it's too much for humans to keep to themselves. Somebody knows the truth. A few people know the truth, and at some point, somebody will come out with it. All right, you can find Michael Duarte on Twitter, because he's covering this as best we can now. He's the guy you want to follow at Michael J. Duarte, NBC LA. And I'm sure at some point we'll talk about Lakers or football or maybe actual baseball. But we appreciate a couple of minutes today after that experience with the press conference.
Absolutely. I appreciate it too. It was definitely an interesting day of sorts. And I'm listening to your show talk about it as well. So I'll keep doing the best I can on the coverage of this scandal and keep listening to you as you guys discuss it. Thank you so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.